In 2008, two Swiss researchers dropped a scientific grenade into the neuroscience world. Suzanne Yagi and Martin Bushkuhl published findings showing that playing a simple computer game for 20 minutes daily could boost fluid intelligence by 40%. This wasn't some pop psychology blog post. It appeared in the prestigious Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. For over a century, psychologists had treated intelligence like eye color. You got what you got at birth. Yet here was evidence suggesting your brain could be trained like a bicep. The implications rippled everywhere, from Silicon Valley startups to military labs, from parents of struggling kids to aging baby boomers terrified of cognitive decline. Even Ashton Kutcher reportedly became a devotee. But could it really be true? Could we actually make ourselves smarter? Picture a mental workbench where you juggle information in real time, calculating tips, following directions, comprehending this sentence. That's working memory, and it's fundamentally different from simply remembering facts. While short-term memory stores information passively, working memory actively manipulates it. Swedish researcher Torkel Klingberg realized while kayaking in 1997 that if six brain regions handle all working memory tasks, training one might improve others. He tested ADHD kids with adaptive training that grew harder as they improved. Working memory increased, hyperactivity decreased, and intelligence scores jumped. Skeptical researchers Yagi and Bushkuhl tested the dual NBAC task, tracking spoken letters and moving dots simultaneously. After 19 days of training, participants showed a 44% increase on matrix intelligence tests. More training meant bigger gains, like physical exercise. Intelligence can't be directly measured, so researchers use multiple indirect tests analyzed through latent variable analysis. When the author underwent pre-training testing, he felt incompetent on spatial reasoning tasks, laughing at impossible Raven's matrices, until the building lost power mid-test. The brain training industry exploded into a billion-dollar marketplace. CogMed costs $2,000 and requires a trainer, but clinical trials showed ADHD kids spending six more minutes on task during math. Lumosity grew to 40 million members at $14.95 monthly, transforming cognitive tasks into colorful games. Studies showed breast cancer survivors improved cognitive flexibility after 12 weeks. Surprisingly, first-person shooter games like Medal of Honor showed robust benefits, improving visual attention, surgical precision, even eyesight. Surgeons and drone pilots now train on these games. Traditional approaches yielded surprises. Blueberries showed minimal cognitive benefits in humans. B vitamins and omega-3 supplements demonstrated no benefits in controlled trials. Only two consumables showed solid evidence: breastfeeding, adding about 4 IQ points per year, and coffee, which genuinely improves working memory. Learning a second language showed mixed results, though it appears to delay Alzheimer's onset by 5 years. Physical exercise delivered consistently. Since the 1960s, studies showed older adults walking 3 hours weekly for 6 months gained significantly in mental task switching. Fitter children had larger hippocampi and better memory. Resistance training worked equally well. Elderly women showed 10% cognitive improvement. Music lessons proved more promising than the overhyped Mozart effect. Children receiving a year of instruction gained 6 to 7 IQ points versus 4 in control groups. Most intriguing was meditation. Chinese undergraduates practicing restful alertness for just 5 days showed improved attention and higher intelligence scores. Brain scans revealed measurable white matter changes after only 2 weeks. At a cognitive enhancement conference in New Orleans, NIDA director Nora Volkov warned that stimulants like Adderall, used by 8% of high school seniors, provided no real cognitive benefit in healthy people, though users falsely believed may helped. Nicotine patches showed remarkable benefits in studies, improving attention, memory, and processing speed by 15% with no withdrawal symptoms in non-smokers. One researcher called it the most reliable cognitive enhancer we currently have. Transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS, proved equally surprising. Tiny electrical currents apply to the skull for 20 minutes daily, improve depression, stroke recovery, memory, math, reading, and problem solving. A 30-day study doubled working memory improvement compared to placebo. The technology worked by making neurons slightly more likely to fire, reinforcing neural pathways through repeated activation. The author faced reality. Improving his brain required discipline he'd never possessed. Despite claiming to jog regularly, his weight had crept toward 200 pounds. He joined his wife's intimidating boot camp class, enduring punishing stair runs that left him gasping. For musical training, he bought a 15-stringed Renaissance lute for $445 and took lessons in Manhattan, struggling with hand positioning. He chose Jon Kabat-Zinn's guided meditation CD and drafted an ambitious schedule. Wake at 6 a.m., spend 20 minutes each on NBAC training, Lumosity, and meditation, attend boot camp 3 times weekly, take weekly lute lessons, practice daily. Reality proved brutal. All 3 cognitive exercises felt nearly impossible, yet he improved steadily. The lute proved surprisingly successful. Within 3 months, he could read tablature and play beautiful pieces. Nicotine patches seemed to improve writing focus. Boot camp improved his physical health. His Lumosity score quadrupled. With dual NBAC, he progressed from struggling at 2-back to routinely hitting 5-back. Randy Engel, who established the crucial connection between working memory and fluid intelligence, ironically became the fiercest critic of training it. He dismissed researchers as snake oil salesmen and called CogMed an absolute sham, insisting intelligence is biologically fixed. Yet, 75 randomized trials found significant cognitive training benefits. Only 4 found none. Engel cherry-picked negative results while ignoring positive outcomes in the same studies. The irony? He overcame enormous limitations himself, growing up in West Virginia with no indoor plumbing, attending a one-room school, becoming his family's first college graduate. He acknowledged cognitive skills could improve, but insisted we're just giving a short guy a ladder, compensating rather than truly changing. But when we improve our mental abilities, who can distinguish between what we were and what we've become? By 2012, even skeptics conceded ground. A major meta-analysis of 23 studies found large immediate gains in verbal working memory, moderately sized gains in visuospatial memory, and small but reliable improvements in nonverbal reasoning, effects once considered impossible. The author's final tests showed his Raven score, the gold standard of fluid intelligence, improved by 16.4%. His combined cognitive score increased by 6%. More importantly, he could play the lute, felt physically healthier, and had demonstrably improved his working memory. 4 major conferences in 2012-2013 marked a turning point. At a secure military facility, naval officers evaluated their cognitive research investment. Former skeptics presented positive findings. One noted that service members with traumatic brain injuries had given up 2 standard deviations of IQ for their country. The urgency of helping them was undeniable. The orthodoxy that intelligence is fixed had been overturned. Training working memory and attention, especially combined with exercise, can improve general mental abilities. Your brain isn't a fixed machine. It's a living organ that responds to challenge. The science is clear. You can make yourself smarter. The only question is whether you'll put in the work.